pray you get all the honor and glory out of what we do today in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 So he says, he's gone into it, but he says, men and brethren, he says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This is his message. His message is a word of salvation. That's the good message. That's the gospel. That's why it's called the good news. It's a message of salvation. And the word of salvation is the one that deals with the question, how can man be justified before God? That's the question. That's the question that brings up this discussion of the word of salvation. How can we who are sinful, how can we who in our sin have fallen so far from the glory of God, how can we be restored to God? How can we be redeemed? How can we be justified before God? Yea, doesn't it say in Job, the sun and the moon, the stars, none of them are even pure before him. None of them even are clean before him. How then could man be justified before God? It's a serious question, and it's a question that every single one of us has to answer. It's a question that we all have to deal with because we are all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. And so, the question is, how can man be justified before God? And Paul says, I've got the answer. And that's why he had something to say. He says, yes, I've got something to say. I have a message. I have a word of salvation that's come unto you. And glory to God, it's come unto them and it's come unto us today. We have this message of salvation. We know the gospel message too. It's come unto us. So, let's just read what his message was. It says in verse 27, I'm going to read along. He says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, speaking about Jesus, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. That is a clear message that he just gave. First of all, he's confronting the people. And God does this. God confronts people with exactly what they need to be confronted with. It's a sad thing when messengers from God, when preachers don't want to confront people with what they have to be dealt with. Because this is what God wants to do. He needs to deal with people with what they need. When he spoke to people through the prophets, he dealt with their sins and confronted them with it so that they could repent of their sins when they needed to. Here, he's dealing with these Jews who the Jews took a great pride in keeping the law. This was the Jews' pride. Their pride was, we keep the law. That's what we do. And they were so focused on the law, so devout to the law. They thought so highly of that law, and yet that law could not bring them justification. Right. Didn't he say that? He said, ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That was a stinger for these Jews. They could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that's what they needed to hear. But they needed to hear that there was justification and that that justification was in Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified. But God does deal with people with exactly what they need to hear. And if you're in here today, you need to hear that you are a sinner. And that sin is not something that is okay to be okay with. That sin is something God wants you to get right. And he provided a means to do that. And that is Jesus Christ. Now, the law is one of those things that the Jews were very confused on. The law was something that they thought that by keeping this law, they were going to be okay with God. They thought that keeping this law was the path to justification. And so the Jews, like I said, they put a lot of stock in this. This was their life. The law, the law, the law. And that's what they were doing. But we got to understand that even though they had a really good law, right? This law separated from them from all other nations. It was a really good law. Yet, it was not a law that could make somebody perfect. It was not a law that could justify you. So therefore, it was not the plan of God. It was not the promise of God from the beginning. This law could not save them. And good laws really can't change the matters that need to be changed. Good laws can only steer behavior. They can only guide behavior, but they can't bring a solution to the real problem. Right? And good laws, even though they steer behavior, you got to recognize that they require an external motivator in order to steer behavior. In other words, there has to be prompt consequences. If not, the law doesn't work. You see, if we just give a law and then don't bring consequences to whoever breaks that law, then the law does nothing. Because people live however they want to live, and if there's no consequences, then they get to do whatever they want. That's why laws have to require consequences, and if there's no consequences, then the law is useless. But all of this is just an exterior thing that's going on. All of this is just an exterior accomplishment of good behavior. And the law can do that. The law can accomplish good behavior, but it's only an external thing. It's an outward thing. It's an apparent improvement, but it's not a real fix. It's not a real solution. It's like painting over rust, right? You got something that's all rusty and old and it's got a real problem. It's got real damage to it. And so we think, oh, well, there's a solution. Let's just paint over it. And we cover it and it looks good and it looks pretty and it apparently fixes the problem. But deep inside, we know that there is still damage there and it still hasn't solved the fundamental decay that's there. And that's exactly what the external law does. Oh, we start keeping this law and outwardly we look good. And this is the problem. This is what Jesus presented to the Pharisees. And he called them hypocrites because what? They were presenting themselves outwardly according to the law like they were righteous and they were keeping it. But he says inside they were full of bones. There were things that, yes, on the outside they looked good, but inside they were just destruction. And so, the law was not able to fix what needed to be fixed. The law was not able to change the heart of the problem. Because the heart of the problem was a problem with the heart. And so, that is what the law could not fix. The law could not change their hearts. So the law cannot save you. That's very clear by this verse, and you have many more, right? So what happens in religion is a lot of times religion just has decided, well, what we do is we change the law. And religions now, they haven't changed much. All religions look pretty much the same. It's just they change the laws. They make different laws. But they're still expecting you to be justified by the law. And that's what religion has done. But that has not fixed anything. Religion will tell you, well, being good is good enough. But the Bible says there is none good. You see, it hasn't fixed the root of the problem. You being good doesn't fix it, because you being good doesn't change who you really are deep down inside. You putting on a show doesn't change what you are deep inside. And deep inside, you're a sinner who has fallen away from God. And you have to be justified. There needs to be reconciliation. And the law cannot do that. I hope that is very clear. That's very clear by what he says right here. Ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And you can't be justified by the law of Moses, nor the law of another religion, nor the law of man, nor any other law that could be given. You cannot be justified by that law. Amen. Doesn't it say that in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Right, amen. No flesh be justified in his sight. You cannot be justified by the law. He says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is like a thermometer. It cannot make you better. It can only tell you if you're sick. Right? You get a fever, you put in the thermometer, it's not gonna fix your fever. The only thing it can do is tell you that you're sick. And that's how the law is. The law isn't the medicine that can heal you. The law is just the thermometer that can tell you, hey, you've got problems. And the law does tell us that. Boy, you read the law and you start seeing, I've got problems. The law says thou shalt not covet. And I find myself walking around looking at all these people that have more stuff than me and wanting it.
Amen.
And you know you're a sinner and you're in trouble. And the law says a lot of other things. And then Jesus comes and says, boy, you haven't even really, really understood the depth of the law. He says, it says thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, anybody who looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's committed adultery with her. Boy, the law has shown us we're in trouble.
Amen.
We have problems. We are not right with God. And so the law has shown us, it has given us the knowledge of sin, and the law cannot justify us. And so we have to ask, well, how can we be justified then? How can I, a sinner, be justified before God? And looking for that answer, the answer is that the grace of God comes through faith, and that that can give you forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Amen.
He says, verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Listen, that's why it's the good message. That's why it's the gospel. That's why it is the word of salvation, because Jesus Christ promises he can forgive you of your sins.
Amen.
Amen.
Your sins can be completely forgiven.
Wow. Amen.
Now just think about that for a little bit and you'll be amazed.
Amen.
Your sins. And don't think about just those superficial ones that we like to ignore. Think about those real sins that you know, if anybody else knew, you'd be very ashamed.
Amen.
And you know, the truth is, Jesus says that he is the light and that men don't want to come to him. Why don't they want to come to him? Because they like darkness. Because the light is going to manifest their true self, their works. And boy, we're scared of that manifestation.
Amen. Amen.
And we should be.
Amen.
One day the books are going to be opened and God is going to judge every sin, every work you've ever done, and everybody's going to be able to see it. And so yes, we are in problems because of our sin, but the grace of God through faith offers us in Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He offers us justification with God. Now, listen, not just justification before some judge here on earth, not just justification between us, it's justification before the one that knows all things.
Amen.
That's the message of salvation. You can be justified before God through Jesus Christ. Now, this, our faith. Our faith is not just some theological concept that we have. It's not just something that, you know, we talk about and some random thing out in the universe that we don't really understand. This faith of ours, listen to Paul's message here, this faith is based on events. Do you realize that? His message here isn't just, you know, some warm, feely message that everybody likes to hear. It's that this is something that happened, and because of these events that happened, you can be forgiven.
Amen.
That's what it says. First of all, he says, Jesus Christ was present among us, and he was without fault. Isn't that true? Verse 28, though they found no cause of death in him. Jesus was here present. God was before us. And yet, they didn't find any cause of death. There was no fault before him. There was no fault found by Pilate. There was no fault in him. And yet, they desired Pilate that he should be slain. Do you realize that Jesus knew no sin? He knew no sin. You and me, we can't go a day without knowing sin. We can't say those words, we knew no sin. No, we are full of sin. And yet Jesus, who knew no sin, it says he became sin for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus actually did something physically present in our time, in our space. God, who is a spirit, made himself a man and died. It says, and we know, you can read Matthew, you can read the Gospels, he was tortured, he was mocked, and he hung on a cross to die for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he was taken down. And he was buried. These are actual events. These are things that actually happened. This really happened. And this is what your justification, this is what your salvation hangs on.
Amen.
This event, this work that Jesus Christ actually did. Jesus Christ, he actually suffered. He actually died.
Amen.
And he actually was buried. That's what it says in verse 29. They laid him in a sepulcher. And then those beautiful words in verse 30, but God,
amen.
But God raised him
amen.
From the dead.
Amen.
It didn't stay there.
Yes.
Jesus Christ did not stay in the ground dead. No, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus was powerful enough. He overcame death.
Amen.
His physical body actually resurrected and he lives.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This is what happened. And that is how you and I are able to hear this message of salvation, this forgiveness of sins, is through the event that Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
The work that he accomplished when he died on the cross, was buried, and resurrected. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That Paul preached. Wow. He rose, he physically overcame death, and he presented himself alive to a multitude of people. There were witnesses. Verse 30 says, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. He had witnesses. And these witnesses were people who were discouraged. People who thought all was over. They had given up. They had gone back to fishing. Thomas couldn't even believe it whenever he heard it. No way. But then they were witnesses. They saw him. And it changed their lives. And they gave their lives to the death, preaching
Amen.
This message, being witnesses of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. This is what our faith is based on. Real events. Real events.
Amen.
Our faith is not based on subjective experiences. No, your sins can be forgiven.
Amen.
Your guilt before God, your guilt before men can be gone. Through the accomplishment of the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the message we see here. Now I want you to notice, let's go ahead and read verse 38 and 39 again, because so interesting this message that is presented. Because you start thinking about it, look at it, recognize the exclusivity that is in this message. Exclusivity, but at the same time, the inclusivity that is in this message. He says in verse 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Did you hear that? This man. Do you know that there's no mediator? There's no other mediator that you can have before you and God other than one. And that is the man Christ Jesus. There is no other. By this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. It is exclusive to Jesus Christ. He says it again in verse 39. By Him. By Him. It is an exclusive message. Boy, that will ruffle some feathers. That will bring some problems, because there's a whole lot of religions that want to have their way of coming to God. There's a whole lot of people that want to have their method and they want to have their religion and they want to be right. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And He made it exclusive through Him. And that's the reality, that's the truth, because nobody else could do what He did. Remember, this forgiveness of sin isn't just something we pulled out of thin air. It's not something we just say and it happens because we said it. No, it's something that was based on real events where Jesus Christ, the one sinless, guiltless, the one who knew no sin, died in your stead. And God offers salvation through that sacrifice because He was pleased by it. And that is the only person who ever did that for you.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Mary had to die for her own sins. Muhammad had to die for his own sins. And anybody else you can mention, any other man in existence, Adam, Abraham, Moses, anybody else, they all had to die for their own sins. Jesus Christ is the only one who was able to accomplish what you needed in order for the forgiveness of sins. And that's why the message of the gospel is exclusive to Jesus Christ and none other. None other. It is only through Jesus Christ. But while it is exclusive only to Him, the invitation is inclusive to all.
Amen.
I love those words. I love how they're right there together in verse 39. It says, "And by Him," exclusive, "all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Wow. By Jesus Christ, He gives an invitation that all men, everybody, anybody, no matter what nationality, no matter what color, no matter what education level, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter if you're sick or you're healthy, He says all men can be saved.
Amen.
All men.
Thank you, Lord.
Anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. This is the invitation that He gives by Him, exclusive, inclusive to all that believe. And they can be justified from all things. You see, the salvation that Jesus offers isn't a mediocre one. It's not a one where, okay, I'll give you a little bit and then you got to finish the rest out. No, the salvation that Jesus Christ gives is complete. He justifies you from all things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Full salvation.
Amen.
Full redemption.
Amen.
Full forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's not something that you start off by faith. You start off with the grace that He gives. You start off because of His work, and then you finish it off with what you have to do and because of your obedience. No, it's a thing that you trust completely, fully in His work, and that saves you completely. That is why our trust is completely on Jesus, and there is no fear of loss, because it is completely dependent on His righteousness, on His work, and not on our own. That is the message of the gospel.
Amen.
Now, he does give us a warning after this. And the truth is that the gospel message is an either or, an or. It's either or. The message of the gospel confronts everybody that hears it with a decision about Jesus Christ. You cannot leave, go away from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and not be confronted with an either or. You either believe on Jesus Christ and you get the justification of your soul, or you reject Jesus Christ and you are in danger of damnation. That is what the message of the gospel presents to those who hear it. Look at what he says in verse 40. After this great news, right? The great message of salvation that he brings, he says, "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." And that's very sad. There's a work. There's a work that Jesus has done. There's a work. There's a work that God is doing. There's a gospel message. And there's all these other things. And he says, "I'm going to declare it to you. But too bad, some of you are going to be despisers. You're going to perish. Because though I give it to you, though I declare it unto you, you will in no wise believe." Some people do not want to believe the message of Jesus Christ. But it's an inclusive message where he's offering forgiveness to anybody that comes to him. Yet no amazement, no short of amazement that some people will not believe. How can people not believe this message? It's a good message. It's a message of salvation. It's a good news. And yet people will not believe this message. And this is what he says: "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you." Beware lest this happen to you. Lest you don't believe the message. And you know, the truth is that no matter what your belief state is, the plan that God has and what he's doing and his judgment and his justice is going to happen whether you believe it or not.
Right?
Right? That doesn't change it. That doesn't change what he says. "I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe." Whether you believe it or not, he's still working. Whether you believe it or not, he's going to do. But if you don't believe, the one that's affected is you. Your whole justification comes in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's no other way. That's the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is, you are a sinner, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior. For this reason, he died when he was at no fault. He died for your sins. He was buried, and yet he rose again the third day. And he showed himself to be victorious over death. And so he can offer you eternal life.
Amen.
Because he has eternal life.
Amen.
Who else are you going to trust in? Somebody who doesn't have eternal life? Can you trust in somebody who says, "I'll give you eternal life," and then they die and perish and you never hear of them again? No. But Jesus Christ, he showed himself victorious.
Amen.
He rose again.
Amen.
And now he offers you eternal life. And you can trust in him. And you can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be justified. But it's all through Jesus Christ. And that's why in verse 43, he keeps talking. He talks to Jews. He talks to Gentiles. And he urges the Jews that they would continue in the grace of God, is what it says at the end of verse 43. Continue in the grace of God. Remember that. Your whole justification, the love of God to you, is in Jesus Christ. Through his grace. Okay, it's not of your works. If you continue, if you think that your works are what's going to get you to be close to God, your works are the ones that are going to justify you before God, then you're mistaken. You're flat out, plain to say, you're wrong. "There shall no flesh be justified before God by the works of the law." It's all through Jesus Christ and through his grace. So you don't need to be like those little girls with daisies, right? Where they're picking them. Oh, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. That's how some Christians or believers are. They're so, you know, focused on what they're doing and how good they're doing and their justification by their works and wow. And they're thinking, oh, well, God loves me. Oh, no, he doesn't love me. Oh, he got loved. No, that's not how it is.
Right.
If you're in the grace of God, then you have the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now this should cause you to live for God. This should cause you to love God because this should change you from the inside out.
Right.
It should put God's law in your heart where you're the one desiring to live to please God. That's what justification through Jesus Christ accomplishes. The message of salvation is the message of grace. The message of grace from God. And grace can be an acronym. I've heard this before. It's an acronym for grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what grace is.
Amen.
Grace is something from God, and it's goodwill from Him. It's something good. It's riches. It's His riches that He desires to give to you. And that has to be somewhere placed at Christ's expense. There's no way for you to receive the grace of God without Christ. Without Christ, you are under the judgment of God. You're under the justness of God, and He has to judge you for your sins. But if you're in God's grace, then He can forgive you. And that's what we're seeking. We seek His mercy, no?
Amen.
One last thing I would like to mention here is just notice the reception that Jesus Christ received before, and think about the way you're going to receive Christ, because that is what makes the difference. In verse 25, this is how Christ deserves to be received. This is the reception He deserves. It says, "And as John fulfilled his course, he said, 'Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose.'"
Right.
What a high standard. What a high thought. What a reception he gave to Jesus. He looked at Jesus in a way where he said, "I'm not even worthy to bend down and take off his shoes. I'm not even worthy to do that."
Yeah. Amen.
I think all of our views of Jesus should increase. I don't think we esteem Jesus as highly, and I don't think any of us do or have done. I think we all fall short of giving Jesus the worthiness that He's worthy of, the praise, the glory, the honor. We are not worthy to even bend down and take the shoes off of His feet. That's how John saw Him, and that's how we should look upon Him. Now, the reception that He received, that He was given, is found in verse 28. By the Jews, it says, "And though they found no cause of death in Him, yet desired they Pilate that He should be slain." That's the reception that He got. They despised Him. They envied Him, and so they put Him to death. They shouted, "Crucify Him." And then, what reception do you have for Him? Do you want to receive Jesus Christ? And as it ends with in verse 38, that He preaches among, is preached among you for the forgiveness of sins? If you receive Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you forget about your justification by your works, then you can be saved through Jesus Christ. But there is an option to reject Jesus Christ, and you despisers and wonder and perish. Though I work, in no wise you will believe, though man declare it unto you. And if this is your decision, then you will not have the forgiveness of sins. And that is the gospel, plain, simple, clear, that Paul preached. And that's the gospel that changed the world. That's the gospel that was then presented to the Gentiles. Because it wasn't exclusive to the Jews. No, it wasn't exclusive to the Jews. In fact, in this chapter, you see that the Gentiles are telling him, Paul, come back, preach it to us. We want to hear more about this. And boy, the Gentiles started believing, and the whole world has been full of the gospel message, and it's received by thousands. And one day, all those thousands are going to be standing in the presence of Jesus Christ, and they're going to be praising Him, praising the Lamb for His work and the accomplishment that He has made in dying for their sins. And if you're saved, you're part of that group. And that's why we praise Jesus Christ. That's why our message is Jesus Christ. That's why Him only do we praise and honor and glory, and we want to give Him our life. So with that, I want to end. If you want to stand with me, we're going to sing in the Red Book. We're going to sing number 206. And we're going to sing about God's grace. And we're going to praise His name to finish out this morning. 206 in the Red Book.